Now we come to the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the 8th chapter, we have the opening of the 7th seal. And the opening of the 7th seal introduces the 7 angels blowing 7 trumpets. And 4 of the trumpets are in this chapter here. And we see that after we've had the parenthetical matter that we had in the 7th chapter of the sealing of 2 companies, now we have the opening of the seals resumed again. Only the 7th seal remains to be opened. Now, this, as we have called your attention to before, is the outline or the pattern that John puts down for us, so we cannot be led astray. He will move like this. There will be a series of sevens. In fact, 4 are coming up that relate to the Great Tribulation period. And he will give 6 of whatever the series might be. Then he will have a parenthetical matter that contributes to the understanding of that particular series. And then he comes to the opening of the 7th, whatever it is, a seal or the blowing of a trumpet. And that in itself will introduce the next series of sevens, which means that they are interrelated, that they are tied together. They belong actually to the same period. And so we have now the opening of the 7th seal that introduces the 7 angels with the 7 trumpets. And this sets the pattern for the remainder of the book of Revelation. Before the 7th of any series is introduced, a subsidiary subject is introduced to provide more light on the particular series. Now, I repeat that because I think it's important for us to see. And there's no reason now to get bogged down. And there's no reason to be sensational at this point. To begin with, when we got to chapter 4, we said everything from here on is future. The things that shall be after these things, John says. Now we are in that section. Now if we're living in the things that are present, which is the church age, then these things do not concern us in the sense. A great many people say, oh, it frightens me to study the book of Revelation. Well, friends, if you're afraid now of these series that are coming up, and I'll admit, beginning with the riding of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, these are terrible, terrific judgments that are coming on this earth. And frankly, they are so tremendous that they boggle the mind just to read about them. But we at least can know where we are. This is something that will take place after the church. And if you're a child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And to be delivered to him when the church goes out of the world before the great tribulation period. That's what's called the blessed hope of the church. Now, these 7 trumpets will bring us to the full intensity of the Great Tribulation. These 7 seals bring judgments which are the natural results of the activities of sinful man apart from God. The 6th seal brings the judgment of nature. And the 7 trumpets reveal that God is judging directly and supernaturally a rebellious race. Now, the first 4 series of sevens can be explained this way. And I'd like to mention this because these next 4, in fact, the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, then we'll have 7 personalities, and then 7 vials or bowls of wrath. All of these concern the same period, but from just a little different angle. In the 7 seals, you have judgment, which is the result of man's willful activity. And I think this new movement that is abroad today, which glorifies sex, to engage in sex orgies, this is the thing that, of course, characterized the pagan religions of the past. It was especially true in places like Ephesus and Corinth. Sex there was a religion, and that's what many of these new groups that are rising today, it's just old paganism coming back, indulging in sex and calling it religion. This is, to my judgment, a very dangerous thing, and it is satanic. Well, this is the period in which all of that will really abound, you see. But the judgment of God will be coming upon man, sinful man, because of this. We had the riding of the white horse, a false peace. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And then with the red horse of war. Who makes war? Man makes war. How does war come? Because it's in the heart of man. If you took all the guns away from all the people and there was no arms or no atom bombs or anything like that, a great many people think if we can get rid of all of that, then we're going to have peace on the earth. My friend, war is in the heart of man. And you'd have to change the heart of man before you can get rid of war. Very frank with you, I've got more confidence in a real, a born-again Christian who has a gun than an unsaved man who does not have a gun. Because if he can't get a gun, I tell you, he'll claw you to death. He'll choke. He'll do anything. We see today a great deal of that being manifested. Now in the seven trumpets we are coming to now, you have the judgment, which is the direct activity of God. And when we get to the seven personalities, we have the judgment, which is the result of Satan's fight against God. Satan will be brought out in the open at that time. And then in the seven bowls of wrath, we have the final judgment of the great tribulation, which is the direct activity of God because of man's and Satan's rebellion. And God will judge both, by the way. Now, we are coming to a section in which we'll find symbols used. But let's remember that a symbol is a symbol of a fact. You can't dissolve it into thin air because it's a symbol. And we're going to find here that there's a strange and strong similarity between the plagues of Egypt in Moses' day and the trumpet judgments. And I think that it's quite reasonable and logical to conclude that if the plagues in Moses' day, if they were literal, then the plagues that are coming in the Great Tribulation are going to be literal. And the symbols that are used are symbols of the reality of what's coming. In other words, plain language would not make it clear to our minds how terrible and tragic the Great Tribulation is. In other words, it beggars description. And so, as it were, God exhausts language and brings in symbols. But when you say symbols, don't try to dissolve it away. It's well to keep in mind that this book here is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see him now in a new role of judge. And these judgments here, the symbols that are used, they're not hazy and shadowy symbols which can be dissipated into thin air by some specious system of hermeneutics. When symbols are used, and they are used in this book, the key is supplied. Scripture will furnish the explanation. And don't draw on your imagination. You don't need to. Revelation is the last book in the Bible because a knowledge, a working knowledge of 65 books precedes it, and it's the basic requirement for an understanding of its vivid language. I today get a little irritated to see somebody get saved or a new Christian, and they immediately start a class in the book of Revelation and start teaching Revelation. Why don't you go back and start with Genesis? If you want to begin at the beginning, that's where you should go. Or take some other book. Don't take Revelation to begin with. Remember, we've been now almost 5 years going through the Bible. Now, I believe that gives us the right to teach the book of Revelation. And I wouldn't want it otherwise. And it was Peter that says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, you don't interpret Revelation by itself. There are 65 books back of it, and the symbols are going to be given to us, but they are not going to be dissolved into thin air. You're not going to wipe them out. You can't just wipe them out. You can't just wash it away. The symbol stands for an awful reality, and we need to recognize that. Now, we have here the opening of the seventh seal, and that introduces the seven trumpets. That's the way that this entire book is built. The structure of the book, if it's followed, will prevent you from going off into fanaticism and sensationalism. And it certainly, as a Christian, ought to keep you from saying, oh, the book of Revelation, it's so frightful, it terrifies me. It ought not to terrify you. It ought to actually be a comfort to you. I thank God that this world that's running wild today, and actually it looks like that it's filled with madmen, the way that mankind has so blundered and gotten this world in a mess today. I thank God he's going to judge it, friends, and he's going to judge it right when he moves in. That's very comforting today to recognize that. That's not my business to get on here and denounce everything else. My business is just to give out the word, and that's what I'm going to do. He's going to straighten it out someday. I wouldn't have that job for anything in the world. I'm glad it's his job. He's going to straighten this world out, and he's going to move in judgment. Now, maybe you don't like that, the fact he's going to judge, that the gentle Jesus, and we've already seen the wrath of the Lamb, it was terrifying to those on earth. And my friend, when you talk about the gentle Jesus, you better get acquainted with him. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you, but if you won't have him, I tell you, there is waiting ahead of you a terrifying judgment. Now, somebody says, oh, you're trying to frighten people. Well, I'd like to scare you into heaven if I could. I'll be honest with you, but I know you're too sophisticated today for that, and there are too many cynics today. But my beloved, judgment is coming on this earth. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad it's coming, because I'm glad God's not going to let it go on like it is now. It's gone long enough.